welcome to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. I am Katie McKinley and am a self-proclaimed maker of things. My family and I live and die by the code of DIY, and naturally we found ourselves surrounded by people who lead some pretty creative lives themselves. I've decided to stop selfishly hogging all of my brilliant and wacky friends and to start sharing them with you. Behind every finished project is a human being who went through a range of successes and failures in making and in life, and it's about time that we get to know just who those talented individuals are. Hi everyone, welcome back to episode number 8. I am thrilled to introduce you to today's guests, and to be honest, I can't remember exactly how long I've been a follower of hers, but my guess is close to 8 years now, give or take. Around the time that I gave birth to my kiddo and started my business, I wanted to learn the skill of photography a little bit more, so I started following different photographers via Facebook. I wanted to study their style and technique and absorb everything that I could from them. And when you see her photos, you will totally understand why I became an adoring fan so quickly. Miranda Parker is the owner, educator, and all-around badass business babe behind Miranda Parker Boudoir and Beauty. She's a Michigan-based photographer who specializes in boudoir-style photography, and she also acts like a lifestyle and makeup guru with the Miranda Parker Project. On top of all that, she's beautifully balancing her life and business while being a mom of three and a wife of 17 years to a hunky, tattooed, super supportive hubby. And I'm so happy to have her on my show today. Welcome to I Can Make That, Miranda.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. And I had no idea that you've been following me for so long.
Yeah, I'm from Michigan myself, and I think I found you through one of my friends that are photographers up there.
I love it. That's awesome. I'm very excited.
So if photography is your superpower, what is your origin story? How long have you been interested in photography?
So I started photography back in, I got like a digital camera in 2008. And I just wanted to take better pictures of my kids. That was how I started in photography. And just became addicted to wanting to learn like the technical side of things. And just taking pictures of my own children, posting them on Facebook. And then people started asking me after I would post, you know, my own pictures, the pictures of my kids, like, oh my gosh, would you take pictures of my kids too? And it just kind of went from there.
I think that's really common in photography, isn't it? A lot of people pick up a camera for the first time really to take pictures of their kids. And then they kind of just discover, hey, I'm good at this.
Yeah, kind of a hidden talent that I didn't know. Well, I didn't have it at first, but I was determined to develop it.
When did it become a business venture for you?
I would say about a year after I got my camera was when I accepted payment for my services. And it was just children and families at first. And I was very hesitant to get into wedding photography. Probably about a year after that, I took my first wedding. So I guess the business side, where if collecting money for your services makes it a business, then about 1 year after I got my camera, so like 2009.
Oh my gosh, photographing weddings is no joke. My husband and I have done a few, and after the day after, I guess, I will be home and just my body is sore. I'm exhausted. It's like I ran a marathon.
Yes, that's the wedding hangover. That's what we call it. And I don't photograph weddings anymore, thankfully. I mean, it was a season of my business and my life that I feel like I needed to go through to get to where I am now, but I do no longer photograph weddings. But that wedding hangover is real.
Was entrepreneurship always a goal for you?
No, I didn't. I had no idea what entrepreneurship was. I kind of just, I didn't take business. I don't even have a college degree. I did go to college for 3 years. Then I got married and we moved out of state. I'm from Michigan. We moved to Georgia. I worked for a bank as a bank teller. And then, started when we had kids, we moved back to Michigan, and that's when I got my camera. But like, I didn't really know, like, I didn't really ever feel like I had a purpose or what I really knew what I wanted to do with my life. other than getting married and being a mom, I knew I always wanted to do that. So this whole becoming a, you know, social media entrepreneur and all that is definitely was not my, like, a goal that I, like, knew that I was gonna, like, my path. Do you know what I mean?
When was that final aha moment where you realized that you could do this for a living?
For photography, it was when people really wanted me to start photographing their weddings. And I'm like, if they think I'm, you know, if I'm talented enough or they find value in me enough to pay me that much to shoot their wedding day, I was like, this is a big deal. And I knew that, like, okay, this is like my career now, you know?
Like I said, my husband and I have shot a couple weddings together, and it is really, you feel like you're part of their wedding. You feel like,
yes,
you're part of their wedding party, and it's such a big responsibility to get those memories captured for them.
Yes, I actually just had a past bride. Like I said, I don't photograph weddings anymore, but I just had a past bride today text me and say, somebody at work was wanting to see something from my wedding, which was like 5 years ago now. And so I dug out my photos and showed her, and I was just like reliving those memories again was amazing. And I just wanted to say thank you again for being the one to capture that day for us. And so that was awesome. Especially I'm not a wedding photographer anymore, but it was a season that was very important to me and like led me to my path I am on today, I think.
When I first became a fan of yours, your photography was a lot more broad. You were doing family portraits and senior sessions, etc. Mm-hmm. And now you're strictly a boudoir photographer. Why the switch? What made you want to specialize in a niche like boudoir?
When I got into boudoir, that was 2011 when I did my first boudoir session. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the feeling after sending women their photos and the response that I would get from them and how good it made them feel. That was like a high for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I have this gift that I can give these women and make, because we're all so hard on ourselves, and I can help another woman feel more confident in herself and her body. And like, that was like a high for me. And so I got more and more into boudoir photography. I got to a point where I got a studio just for my boudoir photography, because I was like hopping from, you know, client homes to hotels and things like that. I got my studio in 2013. And like I said, that was just the path. I could feel myself like, this is my calling. This is my purpose, is to help other women. This is what I'm supposed to be using my photography talent for, is to help other women feel more confident in themselves. And so, yeah, I slowly kind of weeded everything else out and just specialized in boudoir photography.
So the majority of your clients are women, and it sounds like, do they do it mostly for themselves? Is this something that's more driven for a personal boost than anything else?
Yes, absolutely. I get kind of the whole spectrum, but a lot of women do it just because they want to feel good, or, you know, obviously I get brides, or I get women that are celebrating a birthday or a gift for their husband or for their anniversary or something like that. But I do have to say, I think my favorite is the women that just want to do it for themselves. Like, they just want to feel good, or maybe they just went through a divorce or something like that. Or the mom that wants, you know, to feel good after having a baby. And it's just, for whatever the reason it is, it's just awesome. I love it.
I've seen a lot of the photos that you've posted, and these women are walking in and they have some really interesting outfits. Do you provide items for them? Do they know where to shop? How do they get prepared for a session with you?
So I have a welcome guide that I send after they book their shoot. There's a few different session options that they can choose from. And then once they've booked, I have a welcome guide that I send. That's like it's an Adobe Spark. I don't know if you know, if you're familiar with that, but kind of like a PDF, with, you know, suggestions on places to shop, clothing that is flattering on like different figures. So they have like suggestions on how to prepare, like, you know, whether you get a spray tan or not. No spray tan, by the way. Don't spray tan before your boudoir shoot. Unless you are normally a spray tanner. And things like that. So they do get a guide to help them prepare for their shoot.
What about like a glam squad? Do you have anyone to help out getting with like the hair and makeup element side of this day for everybody?
I have a makeup artist, a hairstylist and makeup artist that comes, and that's included in every shoot. They get professional hair and makeup. But she leaves after the hair and makeup is done. So then it's just myself and the client.
So you try and keep it really personal then. Mm-hmm. People don't really bring anyone along with them.
Yeah. Occasionally people ask if they can bring a friend. And I do say that that's fine, but I prefer to have the friend like hang out in the hair and makeup room or hang out, you know, help them like with wardrobe change and stuff like that. But it's really they're a lot more comfortable if it's just me and them. So even if it's like your best friend, if she's sitting there watching you posing and, you know, that type of thing, I definitely find that people are just more comfortable when it's just me and them.
So have you ever had requests for like a men's only session or couples or anything like that?
Yeah, I have. Well, I do photograph couples together as well. I have done a couple males solely, like individually. And it really just didn't make me very comfortable. It was like, I don't know. It's just in my own, like they were not threatening. They were fine, you know, but just, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know about like posing a man in his underwear, just me and him in a room together, you know? So I do strictly photograph women just individually, but I do photograph couples as well.
Is there anything that you miss about family photography?
Like I said, the relationships that I built with people, some of my brides have become such close friends. And like I said, the one that texted me today and was like, I just wanted to say thank you again for capturing that moment for us, you know, and that was 5 years ago. And just when you think about that, these families, and I get tagged on in pictures on like Facebook when it's somebody's anniversary, you know, they post their wedding photos. And even though it's been years and years ago, like it's just, it's pretty special that, you know, that I was the one to capture that for them, you know. Or people's old family photos or their baby when they were little and now their baby is like 10 years old, you know, and it's like I took their newborn photos and now they're like a fifth grader. It's like, it's crazy.
So we've talked about how you're based out of Michigan, which is, of course, how I'm connected to you from all those years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from the Mitten and I have a few friends that are photographers in the state. And from what I see, you're not only tied to Michigan for photography. Mm-hmm. You seem to love to travel either with your husband or family or for business. What has been your favorite non-Michigan place to visit so far in your adventures?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard. Because I do love to travel, and that is one of the most, I always say that like travel is my love language. And that's one of the best things about being an entrepreneur is that freedom to take your job wherever you go. And I would say, I don't know, my husband and I went to Scotland 4 years ago and that was amazing. I love anywhere where there's a beach and sunshine and warmth. Shooting, it's been fun. I teach workshops as well. I teach boudoir photography workshops and we travel for that to different states and we'll rent like a big, like kind of like a mansion and do the workshop in the house with the models come in and the photographers, attendees come in and we all stay in the same place. So there's a lot of, you know, the shooting and everything happens during the day, but then we're hanging out and we're talking more business than just, you know, stuff in the evenings. And that's a lot of fun. We've had workshops in, like you said, Chicago, Destin, Florida, Nashville was really awesome. Yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite.
Scotland is definitely on one of my top 10 lists of places to travel and visit and see.
Scotland was incredible. Yes.
I think I watched one of your Instagram stories where you explained a lot of your tattoos that you have. And it seems like you've actually done a lot of work or had a lot of work done while you've been on vacation. Is that something you planned for?
Yeah, I know. It's almost like that's how I can remember all of my tattoos and where I got them. Like, oh, this one was in Nashville. This one was in like New Hampshire. This one was in Key West. That's kind of like, we're like, oh, what should we do today? Let's go get a tattoo.
You must be a braver woman than I, because I swear I spend a million hours researching what I want and the artist that I want. And I would never be able to do that.
Yeah. The ones that I get on vacation are very simple, like where it's just a script or something like that. That's probably nobody can mess that up. At least nobody has yet.
With the Miranda Parker Project, do you seem to have expanded beyond photography into sort of an influencer role with makeup and style tutorials and some general yet sage life advice? Can you explain what exactly the Miranda Parker Project is and, I don't know, all that it represents for you both as a person and as a brand?
So, yeah, that is my current, like, of adventure. I put a lot of focus there in that entrepreneurial side of social media and like kind of like the influencer. And it really goes along well with boudoir photography, because my mission and my purpose in life, I feel like, is to just help empower women and uplift and encourage other women. So that's kind of what I do with the Miranda Parker Project. I do the makeup and teaching women, you know, how to apply makeup and feel more confident in that area. I like the clothing try-ons just to show women variety and how to dress. Like if you're, you know, how to dress flattering for, I'm a curvy girl, and how I dress my curves and things like that. And then of course the gray hair just kind of became, it's just anything to relate that another woman might be struggling with. If I just tried to just share my heart and struggles or vulnerability that I have had in my life. And I just know that that will help another woman, you know, who has had gray hair since she's been 20 years old and lives by the 3-week hair appointment to keep it colored because you're embarrassed by it or whatever. So I just decided, let's just make gray hair part of my style and show other women that like we have a choice in the matter. Like, just because society says gray hair makes you look old and you're letting yourself go, like, let's prove it wrong, you know? So then there's, and that has really like, that's really introduced me to a whole nother, you know, I guess, audience of women on social media too.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, and this actually really goes hand in hand with female empowerment, being comfortable and happy with who you are and as you're meant to be, you have ditched the dye and you're letting your natural hair grow out. And believe it or not, you're one of three women in my Instagram feed on almost a daily basis who are doing the very same thing. It seems to be this whole revolution, and it's really kind of fun and refreshing to watch happen right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And who knew? Like, I really love the color of hair that's coming in. And who knew? Because I've been hiding it and being ashamed of it, you know, paying money to cover it up. And then here I'm like, gosh, I really actually like the color that's coming in. So hopefully other women are discovering that in themselves too. And it's just becoming like, I've had people, like a friend of mine messaged me and said, I saw a lady today with her gray roots uncovered, and I in the past I would have been like, ugh, she's overdue. She needs to get to the salon. And instead I was like, oh, that's cool. I wonder if she's growing it out like Miranda is. Like, it just, she's like, you made me like be a kinder person today. Like, just from following you. And I thought, now when I see gray hair, I think, oh, maybe she's doing it on purpose like Miranda is. Like, you know? So I thought that was really cool.
I feel like it's also created these like magical support groups for women who are just kind of taking back what they've hidden or been ashamed of in the past. And it's fun to watch.
It absolutely does. And it's just, it's such a small thing that you think, you know, that I guess when I decided to do it, I didn't realize the impact that it would make on other people, but I love it.
I always absorb a lot of energy in your posts. That's like empowerment, self-love, and body positivity. And I think the majority of your clients and followers are women. Does mm-hmm. that make it easier or harder to put yourself out there sometimes?
I think easier because I think that I know if I'm feeling a certain way, I know other women are too. We're all the same. We all have insecurities. We've all been raised to compare ourselves to what we see in the media and to, you know, to feel like we don't compare and to pick ourselves apart. Like, I just feel like that's just the way that we were raised or what's portrayed. And I think that the influence on social media of more real women, is getting bigger and bigger. And I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome for our daughters, to be growing up with more of that, like self-acceptance, and body positivity. I hope that they're seeing that more than they're seeing, you know, the opposite.
Seeing someone else have body positive vibes honestly helps the next person because it's, you absorb that. You really, and I keep saying absorb, but you see someone say, I love this about myself, even though I'm imperfect. And you say, oh, that's me. I could love myself too. Maybe I should stop tearing myself apart for these little tiny things.
Yes, absolutely. And if you would say, you know, you wouldn't say it to somebody else, but you say it to yourself. You know, I see beauty in so many women, like all shapes and sizes, all colors, doesn't matter. Like I see beauty in whoever comes in my door for, you know, for a photography session. But then I look in the mirror and I pick myself apart, you know, for things that I, you know, that I think are beautiful in other people, you know, it's just, we're just hard on ourselves.
We act like a big bully to ourselves all the time, it seems like.
We do. I'm working on that myself, and that's why I share it, you know, in the hopes of other people. Because I also think that people look at me and think she has it all together, you know? And so I think it's important to share that, like, I have the same insecurities as, you know, the next. And you just never know what people are. You know, you see a glimpse from the outside, but you don't really know what's going on the inside.
Two of your three children are at least old enough to be online or on social media of some sort. Do either of them follow you?
Yes, but I actually don't let them on social media. It's so funny because that's my job, but my oldest are 15 and 13, and some of their friends are on social media and they follow me, which I always try to keep that in mind as well. But my two, they don't have Facebook or Instagram. No, Aubrey does have, my daughter does have a Snapchat, which I check. And we monitor our kids' phones, even though they're not on social media. They know that we could take their phone and check on it anytime. But Aubrey does have a Snapchat. But
do you know if any of their friends follow you?
I definitely think so. I don't know about so much with Brayden, with my oldest, because he's a boy. I don't think his friends are following me. But I know that my daughter's friends, I do have some of her friends following me. And I don't know. She says that they say that she's got a famous mom. And I just think that that's funny. But it's just because, you know, they see me on their phone, on their phones doing my makeup live and stuff like that, you know? But I think that they, I think that I hopefully am influencing them positively as well.
One thing that we haven't brought up yet or talked about specifically is the beauty line that you promote and represent. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Unique came into my life a little over 2 years ago, and it was just my friend joined the company, and it's a direct sales company, a direct sales skin and makeup, skincare and makeup. And she joined and she was like, you have to try this foundation. It's amazing. And I'm like, okay, I will to support you because I was kind of like a makeup junkie, and I would try all kinds of things and never really found like the foundation that I really like helped me, because my skin is like not perfect, and you've seen me with no makeup on my social media too. So I tried the foundation from her and I really, really loved it. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna sign up under you just so that I can get a discount on my foundation. And then I just fell in love with the products and it made me confident. And I was like, if I'm putting this on and it's making me feel so good, like, I want to share this with other women. I'm not a professional makeup artist. I didn't know how to do my makeup, but it was kind of like when I got my camera with photography. I was like, okay, I have this and I have this, you know, this tool at my fingertips. I want to learn how to use it as best as I can. And that was kind of how I was with the makeup. I was like, oh my gosh, I have this amazing makeup in my hands. I want to learn how to use it as best as I can so that I can help other women, you know? And so, yeah, it just kind of went from there.
You've shown like before and after pictures before of when you first started out in this makeup career and now, and it's kind of amazing to me that you didn't always know how to do what you do with the blending and the contouring and all that.
Yes, absolutely. I had no idea. My eyebrows were terrible. I didn't know what highlighter contour was. Yeah. But it's a tool, or it's a, what do you call it? It's a tool that anybody can learn just with practice, like with anything. It fell right into my mission with my boudoir photography and helping build confidence in women, in their makeup skills. And, they just coincide very well together.
Your husband seems to really be a huge supporter of what you do in business and just on social media. I've actually seen him be on some of your behind the scenes and doing different, I don't know, tutorials and things like that with you.
He does. He's very, very supportive of everything that I do, really, but especially on the social media front. He does a lot of behind the scenes stuff for me, but he does hop out on camera every once in a while. Like we did the other night, I was just doing my makeup, and my audience knows if I'm doing my makeup at night, Nathan and I are going to the Mexican restaurant for dinner afterwards. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to put my makeup on at night and then just have it go to waste. So they're like, oh, you should go live when you go, to the Mexican restaurant, so we can see this place that you're talking about all the time. So we went out to dinner. We went live together at the Mexican restaurant, and I like took everybody along on our date, and they like thought that was so much fun.
Flash forward 5 years from now, what do you think you'll be doing?
That is like probably the hardest question. Yeah. I honestly think I'll be doing the same thing that I'm doing now, but I hope just like, you know, I hope that just my audience keeps growing bigger. So that I can just impact more people. But I love what I'm doing right now. I love the balance I have with the photography and the makeup and the social, you know, the influencer side of things. And gosh, my kids are, oh my gosh, in 5 years, I think I'll have two in college. That's crazy to think about. So I don't know, our dream, our like retirement dream, which won't be in 5 years probably, but is to have a lake house one day. Nathan and I want to have a lake house that is our permanent like home in Michigan, and somewhere where like our kids can come back, you know, come back to, like that they bring their kids back to, you know. So I don't know if it'll happen in 5 years, but a lake house maybe would be great. But as far as what I'm doing for work and within my life, I hope to be doing the same. I hope to be traveling a lot. And yeah, like I said, just doing the same thing I am now, but growing my network and audience more so that I'm just reaching more and more people, more and more women.
I think that I already know the answer to this, but what is your absolute favorite part of your job and career out of everything that you do?
Oh, gosh. So my favorite part of what I do, there's so many things. Definitely the impact that I get to have on other women. When I get a message from somebody, like I just got one today, I get them daily and they just melt my heart. And it just is like, this is why I do what I do. Somebody just messaged and said, cause I get some kind of like, I get some hate a little bit about the gray hair or just people that are just very like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to look older? And I just try to like respond in kindness and kind of make people feel like silly for being rude to somebody on the internet for no reason, you know? Or if I can just teach somebody that like, hey, you know, you don't know why somebody might be doing what they're doing. Just be kind, you know? So I just got a message from somebody today that was just saying, I wanted to tell you how badass you are. I read the comments from some people and I wonder why they even comment, but you're so strong for putting yourself out there and for being a role model. You're beautiful and a badass. So it's just like comments like that just make me, I don't know. They just give me all the warm and fuzzies and like, okay, there's a reason I'm doing what I'm doing and putting myself out there in order to help other women. And the inspiring other women is in hearing from them that I'm making a difference or giving them confidence makes me feel so good. So that is probably my favorite part of what I do.
And the comments that they're giving you, that feedback, they're saying it because they're seeing something in themselves, in you, that they love about themselves too. So I think that's probably why part of it is that they're calling you a badass and saying, look at you doing this. And they're finding that little thing that they find in common with you and seeing it in themselves too, which I think is awesome.
Yes. Like if I can give them that little spark to believe that they could do it too, or to respond in kindness to somebody who's being a jerk, you know, there's like something like things like that. I hope that, you know, they think about that. Like I could easily get, you know, snarky back and just, or whatever, but I just try to just like spread kindness. And that is what that's spread kindness and confidence. That's what I try to do. And, so when I get feedback like that, that just always affirms that, yep, I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And yeah, so that's probably my favorite. And then of course there's, I mentioned earlier how much I love to travel. So I love that this, you know, being an entrepreneur allows you to have the freedom to pick up and really take your job wherever you go. So I don't have to, you know, take time off. I don't have to request, you know, vacation time or anything like that. Pretty much as long as my parents are willing to watch my kids, if they don't come with me, then I can go anywhere and do what I do from anywhere. So I really love that too.
Live in the dream then, huh?
Yeah. As soon as I get that lake house.
That lake house. Well, so here is the final question. I ask everyone it, and everyone has a hard time answering it. What is something people would find surprising about you?
Okay. I asked my husband this. I was like, okay, what is something that people would find surprising about me? And I had something kind of in mind that I was going to say. And he was like, probably that you used to be like a diehard NBA basketball fan. And I was like, oh, that's a good one. So when I was like growing up in like high school and, you know, high school, college, I don't know. My older brother got me into basketball and I was like a diehard NBA basketball fan. So I thought I was going to marry Grant Hill, who was the basketball player for the Detroit Pistons back then. And yeah, I was a total diehard NBA basketball fan. But what I was going to say, so that's one thing that people probably don't are like, really? But I was also going to say that, like, I kind of have a potty mouth sometimes. And I don't ever put that on social media ever because I just think, I think there's a time and a place for it. But, and it's not on social media because I don't want to offend anybody who might not be or not be a fan of it or whatever. But in certain circumstances, I can throw a curse word here and there. And people are probably surprised by that because I don't put it out there on social media at all.
I have a bit of a bad mouth too sometimes. So I feel you, sister.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like embarrassed by it, but I just think it's like, I don't know. I just want to respect my audience. If somebody is offended by like dropping an F-bomb, like I'm not going to throw it in their faces, you know, but when I'm home or my kids make me mad or I don't say that word to my kids, but yeah, it's a good word for expressing yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so, so much for spending time with me today, Miranda. It has been so much fun getting to know you a little bit better. And for everyone else that's listening, thank you so much for joining in on the 8th episode of I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. I will leave the links in my blog post as well, but you can find Miranda all over the internet. She is one of those very cool link trees, so you can just look her up on Linktree/Miranda Parker. You can go on Facebook at the Miranda Parker Project and on Instagram at Miranda Parker. See you next time.
Into I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. Transcripts from this episode, along with links and more information about today's guests, can be found at www.wildandwonderful.com. See you next time, creatives!